The scripture memory for this week, as it's given to you in the text of the lesson, Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. Matthew 16, 26. And you'll want to take advantage of how this is set up for scripture memory and emphasize that. Encourage your people, encourage our students in our Sunday school classes to memorize scripture. Hide God's word in their heart. It won't return void. And as they spend time meditating on it and thinking about it, God can bring that to your mind. I heard someone say the other day, you can't quote scripture you haven't memorized. Pretty profound, wasn't it? I thought, that is exactly correct. You can't quote scripture that you haven't committed to memory. And so, the scripture memory verse given to us, Matthew 16, 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see the lesson title there, The Empty King. The Empty King. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16, 26. We're looking at Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes. And you'll take the time to turn there with me, please. Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes means the preacher. And this book of Ecclesiastes, 12 chapters, right in the heart of our Bible. You have the five books right in the heart of our Bible that deal with the heart issues of man. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And here we have Solomon writing in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and dealing with such serious issues of life as really his testimony he's giving. And he's preaching a message, a sermon, 12 chapters, all into one sermon as he presents it for us here. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, you get the introduction. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Israel. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? He asked that question. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? The empty king. Here we have Solomon. Can you imagine? You see the phrase right there? The son of David. Solomon, the son of David and Bathsheba. What a privileged character. The son of David. God said David's a man after his own heart. God said of David, he's a man after my own heart. And Solomon, here's his son writing and giving this message. And he had everything that he wanted. We're going to talk about that. But he says, vanity of vanities. In the introduction, he says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. He's the most glorious king, ruling at the most glorious time of Israel's history. And yet he said, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Vanity, vapor, emptiness. We'll see that expounded upon in the body of the lesson here. And over 30 times the word vanity, or some form of the word vanities, over 30 times it's used in this small book here, these 12 chapters, 30 times. God trying to tell us something. Over 25 times you see the phrase under the sun, under the sun. And Solomon says things on this earth, things under the sun, are empty. Can't grasp them. Without God, all is vanity. And that's what he's telling us in this message, the empty king. Now let's look at some things in the scripture here, these four things, and we'll note by way of introduction to this series of lessons on the conclusion of the whole matter. First, let's note some things about Solomon. First, you see, he had everything. He had everything. Look at it, chapter 2 and verse 10. Well, let's back up to verse 4. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. You can read on down through there. Look down to verse 10. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Can you imagine that? I've read that verse many, many times, heard it read many, many times, and it still just boggles my mind to read that. Where Solomon said, everything he saw and he wanted, he got. Everything. He had everything. Look to 1 Kings chapter 2. You know the chapter 10. You know the story. The Queen of Sheba. hears about Solomon. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train. And you can picture in your mind, I'm picturing this very great train. And the queen of Sheba, no doubt, was pretty proud of all that she had amassed, and she was going to go show Solomon. She said, I've heard some things about Solomon. She said, I'm just going to go check it out for myself. But she says, I don't want to be caught offhand. She says, I'm going to impress him myself. I'm going to take some pretty neat things with me when I go. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, I think it's interesting that the scripture mentioned his wisdom first and then the house that he had built, and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attention of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She was astounded. She'd never seen anything like it. Now, she was expecting something great. She'd prepared something great to present. And she'd already heard how magnificent it was. But she saw it. She sat down and talked to Solomon and says, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. It goes on, expounds upon that. He had everything. He had everything. You read on down to verse 27, the same chapter. And the king made silver. You see verses 14 through 27. It talks about all the things that he had and the things that he accomplished and built. Verse 27 says, and the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars made he to be as sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. Said silver was so plentiful, it was just as stones. Solomon had everything. Had everything. But his life was empty. Back to Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verse 17. In the midst of all that, he says in verse 10, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. Follow it down to verse 17. Therefore, I hated life. Can you imagine that? Therefore, I hated life. We're talking about the empty king. The conclusion of the whole matter. Life without God. Solomon had everything, but he says, I hated life because it was vanity without God. And God has put this place, this book of the Bible, for us to know that if we think we can become more content by having more things, then this book will show us that that's not the case. Not the way to be happy. Solomon had everything. Not only did he have everything, or we see he had everything, as the scripture shows us, but also his life was empty. His life was empty. Back in verse 2 of chapter 1. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He was an unusually blessed and brilliant man, no doubt about it. He had great wealth. Chapter 2, verse 4. I made me great works, I built me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith, the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens. And he didn't just obtain all these things. You read about it. And he enjoyed the knowledge that was associated with it. He learned about it. He became a botanist and a zoologist and an architect. He learned about irrigation. And he learned about structure and building and all the things involved there. He says that was the joy of his life. His labor was the joy of his life. He had everything, but he says his life was empty. It was vanity. He says it was a vapor. He said, under the sun, I couldn't grasp it. He said, I had absolutely everything I wanted, but my life remained empty. It was still empty. All was vanity. He had everything. His life was empty. He found out that nothing on earth could satisfy. Nothing on earth could satisfy. As we said, over 25 times, you see in Ecclesiastes, Solomon refers to under the sun, these earthly things. We're a spoiled people, aren't we? We have so much. And the more we have, the more we want. We get and we want some more. I'm talking typically most of us. Now, if it's not you, then you don't give that testimony. But I'm saying for most of us, in my life, I find out the more I want, then the more I get. The more I get, the more I want. The more I get, the more I want. Just trying to obtain more. I don't know. There's not too many people today that don't enjoy a higher standard of living than just 20 years ago. Not too many of us that don't enjoy that expectation of life. But Solomon found out that nothing on earth could satisfy. Nothing. And everything in this world is going to end up the same way. 2 Peter, you see the reference there. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. It's all going to burn up. All of it. Because nothing on this earth can satisfy. And we've got to, as Christians, get to the place in our life where we understand that our joy, our satisfaction, our contentment comes not from the things that we accumulate here, not the things that we can amass on this earth, but it comes in serving Christ. Nothing on earth could satisfy. Solomon had everything. He said, if I saw it and wanted it, I got it. But he said, I found out that couldn't satisfy me, can't satisfy me. And then finally, we see that we are created for eternity. We are created for eternity. You want to take your class to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Well, that's a tough one to obey, isn't it? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Here it is in verse 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We were created for eternity. Your soul, my soul, the souls of the people in our Sunday school class Sunday were created for eternity, but everything else in time is dying and decaying. Everything. I think of these beautiful children, these beautiful babies, and our church is full of them. Have some going in the hospital tonight, some mothers going in. But you know, the minute that baby's born, as far as that body, that earthly body is concerned, the minute that baby's born, it starts dying, as far as the earthly body is concerned. Now, the soul is made for eternity. And that's what Solomon found out. He says, we're created for eternity. Everything around me, everything I've accumulated, he says, is just dying. It's going to be burned up eventually. But even if we don't get to the very end, it's going to rust away, wither, die. Everything you know about in time, that happens too. Philippians 3:8, Paul says, after Paul recounted, he says, if anybody's got a right to be excited about themselves, he says, it's me. He says, I've accomplished it all with my life, humanly speaking. He says, I was educated by the very best teachers, and I was zealous about my work. But he says, every bit of that, he says, he's writing to the Philippians, he says, every bit of it, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He says, I want to give Christ the place he deserves in my life. And Solomon said, although he had everything, he says, my life was empty. I found out nothing on earth could satisfy. And he says, we're created for eternity. So you can ask your class, what are you doing? What am I doing? What am I doing in my life to try to obtain, in order to obtain this satisfaction? It's not money for everybody. Some people, it's power, prestige, position. But if it's anything besides following Christ and living our life for the eternal goals, then it's going to be the same. We're going to have the same testimony that Solomon had. The empty king. He had everything. His life was empty. He found out nothing on earth can satisfy. And God tells us we're created for eternity. Let's get people here this Sunday to be encouraged by this lesson. The empty king, the very first in this series of the conclusion of the whole matter in the study in Ecclesiastes. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the book of Ecclesiastes. And as we prepare to teach these lessons on the conclusion of the whole matter, may you work in our hearts. Help us be faithful to get people in our classes so they may be encouraged by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.